Ever start a new supplement and wonder, is this really working? You're not alone. Most supplements aren't easily absorbed, which means your body might not be getting the nutrients it needs. Symbiotica takes a different approach, with formulas designed for maximum absorption. Favorites, like their liposomal vitamin C, support a strong immune system and boost natural collagen production. And their newest standout, liquid colostrum, is essential for a healthy gut, packed with nutrients that soothe and restore the gut lining. Symbiotica's clean, bioavailable supplements help your body actually use what you take, delivering real results. And with a monthly subscription, it's easy to stay consistent. Symbiotica makes wellness simple. Ready to feel the difference? Go to Symbiotica.com and use code START for 20% off. That's Symbiotica.com, code START.
Imagine you're watching the game at a buddy's house when you get a call that someone tried to break into yours. In a second, everything can change. That's why there's ADT. No one wants to feel unsafe in their own home. ADT security systems help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. The ADT Plus app keeps you in control the whole time. ADT's network is built for those game time moments. They have the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. Don't leave your home wide open during an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
When I'm looking for high-quality furniture that doesn't break the bank, I don't have to settle for subpar styles because I can find everything I need at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, I can score everyday low prices on pieces that real customers love, like Consumer Reports recommended mattresses, real marble dining sets, and the best-selling modular Bob's sectional, which has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So stock up on five-star style and visit Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
Boomer and Geo,
PT and Sal,
Evan and Tiki,
Keith McPherson, your nighttime host on the Fan.
On the Fan.
On the Fan.
On the Fan.
It's WFAN Daily, hosted by Pete Hoffman.
Welcome to WFAN Daily with Pete Hoffman. And yes, the New York Knicks season is over as they get eliminated by the Indiana Pacers. And let's just say this much. This is disappointing. This was a tough, tough way to go out because everyone knew after game five that it looked like the Knicks can handle the Indiana Pacers and find ways potentially to come back to New York. And instead, the game is tight. The game is close. The game never seems like the Knicks can just separate from the Indiana Pacers. And then the second half comes and everything just goes the Pacers' way. And the rest is history. And Reggie Miller said it, and I hate to give him an ounce of credit at all because I was thinking the same thing too, but he said it, so I got to give him a little credit at the end of the game. He goes, this series was lost in game one. End of story. The Knicks had the series at hand. They did what they needed to do. They were up by 14 with 2.5 to go, and they blew a 14-point lead and gave away that game and gave away the series. That's it. That's it. We could sit there and dissect every other game, every other possession, talk about Tibbs, you know, how he used his rotations and what type of play calling he had and if Cat, what game Cat stepped up in and what game he didn't step up in. We can go through all the ups and downs of this series, but simplistically put, that was the series. Game one. You win that game, you're going back for a game seven, end of story. Knicks will win it at home. They were not going to go back home and lose. No doubt about it. But they fell apart. And unfortunately, the Pacers took advantage. And Tyrese Halliburton was right. The Knicks choked. They choked the series away. And I'm sorry. I don't care how amazing it was that Knicks got to the Eastern Conference Finals this year. It's a step up finally after back-to-back years going to the semifinals and getting ousted. It doesn't make a difference to me. This taste is disgusting right now. The fact that they lost to the Indiana Pacers again, back to back seasons with a team that was much more complete, much more healthy than they've been in the past few years. You ask about all these, you talk about all of these issues that the Knicks have had over the years going into the playoffs. Who's healthy? Who's a no-show? All this stuff. The Knicks had everybody and more. They had a healthy squad. They had a healthy bench. There wasn't one player. Yeah, you could talk about nicks and bruises and stuff like that. Okay, that's going to happen. But for the most part, every single player was healthy enough to give a great effort in the playoffs. And for the most part, you saw them put their body on the line. But they came up short, which means are there going to be changes next year? Because it feels like you have to. It feels like after a series where you should have just, not saying completely swamped, but you should have won the series. After the road that was paved out for you, beating the Pistons in a tough, gritty series, beating the Boston Celtics, that was the team that we were supposed to be worried about. That was the team that Knicks fans were scratching their head going, I don't know if we could really beat them. I don't know if we could beat the Cavaliers. I don't know if we could beat the Thunder. Hey, guess what? Pacers aren't beating the Thunder either, but it would have been nice to see the Knicks go and at least give it a shot. But they beat the Celtics. That was the team they had to beat. The road was paved for them to get to the finals, and they choked. And you could sit there, and in the second half, we could sit there and dissect all of these bad turnovers. We could sit there and talk about the refs, you know, with all the horrible foul calls. We could sit there and talk about their, you know, the Deuce McBride who hits a three that could have made the game a little bit closer, and they call him out of bounds, and his foot is clearly inbound. So I don't know what the hell they were looking at and why we didn't do a replay on that one. There was plenty of things that we could sit there and complain about. But at the end of the day, it doesn't make a difference because this game, they were never coming back in. They were never coming back in this. It all goes down to game one. And listen, if you want to sit there and complain about, you know, the rotation, why are we messing around with the rotation in game six? Why are we messing around with the rotation in the Eastern Conference Finals? Okay. Do we got you this far? Guess what? You got what you wanted. Jalen Brunson was missing for a huge chunk of time from the first quarter into the second quarter. That's what you wanted. You got it. We got Landry Shamet. We got Deuce McBride. We got Wright. We got the bench players. That didn't work, okay? It wasn't effective. Again, the biggest thing is if the Knicks were able to find a way to separate themselves in that first half, find a way to take a little bit of a lead, find a way to be a little comfortable, find a little way to put a little pressure on the Pacers. Maybe they could have folded, but we'll never know because there was nothing. There was no major effort to show that your back was against the wall. That's the one thing I noticed in game six. The back was against the wall in game five. We saw that effort. We saw how complete, like, hey, we don't want to lose at home. Great. That was fantastic. Exactly. But game six, there was never that fight like, hey, we need this game. We need to separate ourselves and we need to get back home and do what it takes. It felt like that second half, they were just, the first half they were playing up to their potential. They were playing up, you know, trading buckets with the Pacers, but they never separated. And then the second half, forget about it. It was just over. It was over. It was over before a blink of an eye, and I knew that going into the second half, it just felt like the Knicks were never going to cut that lead down, and eventually that was it. It was sloppy play after sloppy play, bad turnovers, bad shooting, bad everything. Again, we could sit there and say that the refs were terrible too because, you know, you sit in.
Ever start a new supplement and wonder, is this really working? You're not alone. Most supplements aren't easily absorbed, which means your body might not be getting the nutrients it needs. Symbiotica takes a different approach with formulas designed for maximum absorption. Favorites like their liposomal vitamin C support a strong immune system and boost natural collagen production. And their newest standout, liquid colostrum, is essential for a healthy gut packed with nutrients that soothe and restore the gut lining. Symbiotica's clean, bioavailable supplements help your body actually use what you take, delivering real results. And with a monthly subscription, it's easy to stay consistent. Symbiotica makes wellness simple. Ready to feel the difference? Go to symbiotica.com and use code START for 20% off. That's CYMBIOTIKA.com, code START.
Aaron's saying, wow, I mean, Josh Hart's taking, you know, huge fouls to the face, but we don't want to call flagrants on those because, you know, it wasn't as aggressive. Whatever. I'm not going to sit here and nitpick fouls. I'm not going to sit here and nitpick much because at the end of the day, the Knicks blew it, and it's frustrating. And we could sit here and say how great of a season this actually was, but it's not. It's not. That's the point. This is not a great season. You have arguably the best starting five ever in a New York Knicks uniform, and this is where they end up, choking to the Indiana Pacers in Eastern Conference Finals. It's not good enough. Now, people are going to put a lot of blame on Tibbs. They're going to want to see a new coach because clearly Tibbs is the issue here. Tibbs is always the issue. Why? Because he's not a good play caller. He never uses bench. And listen, don't get me wrong. The bench thing is a problem. The bench thing is a problem. The fact that we sit there and find out that there's actually other players on this team besides Brunson, besides Mitchell Robinson. I mean, basically, Tom Thibodeau didn't know how to use his bench until Mitchell Robinson got back on the team after becoming, you know, after being on the IL for all that time. That's when he figured out that he had somebody he could go to like a six man. We know that Tom Thibodeau does not use his bench properly. But that's got to change going forward. You have to be able to use other guys. Like there's been, we talked about Dante DiVincenzo not being around this year. And a lot of people said that DiVincenzo would have been a perfect piece for this team to come off the bench and be able to hit shots from the outside. Well, guess what? There might actually be players on this team that could do the same thing. We just don't know about it because we never see them on the court. We've seen plenty of games this season that were out of hand. And the bench finally comes in with a minute and a half left. And now everyone's chucking shots because everyone wants to eat. You know, that is the biggest bugaboo about this New York Knicks squad is that they're actually too good. You have too much talent on the team and not everyone can eat at the same time. Jalen Brunson is the guy. End of story. He's the guy that is going to lead the charge. Whether it's ISO ball, whether he's facilitating, whatever the case is, Jalen Brunson, the offense runs through him. When he's not there, it's Cat. That's what it seems like. That's what they figured out. That's how they want to approach it. If it's not Brunson, it's going to be Cat. But there's guys like Brunson, guys like Bridges, guys like OG that can take over as well. But they don't have the spotlight because, again, you have too many people to feed. How are you supposed to do that? And then you have a bench that you don't know about because, or we can guess and say, oh, the Landry Shamet, not a bad three-point shooter. Maybe it's nice to see him go out there once in a while. But are you really going to rely on Landry Shamet in the Eastern Conference Finals when he hasn't really played all season long and hasn't really been that sixth guy off the bench? It's usually Deuce. Deuce is the guy you're going to go to. Are we going to really go to Shamet there? So there's a lot of questions, but that's on the Tibbs section, but that's not fireable. That's not something that's like, oh, we got to figure. No, that's just called you have to do it early in the season, find out. And here's another thing too. If you really think that he needs to use his bench, maybe give him pieces that he could trust. I don't think you can trust those guys. The real thing is this starting five going to be the same starting five coming back next season? Is the core of this team, the Jalen Brunson, the Josh Hart, the Karl Anthony Towns, the OG Anunoby, and the Mikal Bridges, are they all coming back? Mitchell Robinson, is he coming back? Those six guys right there, that's the core of the team. That really is. Are they all coming back? And the first thing I see and hear already is the first thing that the Knicks got to do is get rid of Karl Anthony Towns. I'm sorry, but that's just the stupidest thing in the world because you saw how effective he can be. You saw that guy, Karl Anthony Towns, can take over a game. And I hear from everybody, whether it's my kid, whether it's somebody, a caller. Oh, what is Karl Anthony Towns doing from the outside? Why is he always shooting threes? Why doesn't he get – listen, he was making major rebounds at the end of this game. I know that it was already too late, but he does everything and can take over a game. It's upsetting that he doesn't do it as much as he can. It's upsetting that, yeah, there's a lot of times he's in foul trouble because of the way that he's a little bit flamboyant with his arms and giving some elbows, and maybe he's just not controlling his body as well and giving off those quote-unquote stupid fouls that put him in foul trouble and put the Knicks in situations that you have to sit him. Okay, fine. But for the most part, who else is going to be able to shoot the way he does, the way that can take over a game the way he did in the Eastern Conference Finals a few times? He gave you ample experiences and moments to make you think, oh, this guy is that good. He doesn't do it every game, but that is, again, because the fact you have too many players on this team that are that talented. They're all so good, and they all can't touch the ball at the same time. The only guy that maybe sits there and says, you know, it's more Josh Hart, it's more there to be that tornado type of guy, that torpedo that comes out of nowhere, that's a little scrappy player, he's playing a little bit all over the place, whether he's out-rebounding, offensive rebound, defensive rebounding, steals, whatever the case is. That's what Josh Hart is really good at. We're not sitting there trying to rely on Josh Hart to take over a game and put up 30, 40 points a game and hit from the outside and drive and all that stuff. No. We're looking for Josh Hart to be a spark plug to keep the opposition at bay, keep them under control, kind of keep the pace a little bit. Like, hey, dude, if you're going to try to, you know, if you're going to try to speed the tempo up, then I'm going to speed the tempo up and be just as aggressive as you. That's where Josh Hart, you know, exceeds, you know, that's where he really is himself. But he still has a role in this team. You're not getting rid of him. If anything, you're moving him to the bench. But does that mean that Mitch is going to be part of your starting five, a guy that struggles offensively at times? You know, clearly we see that the free throws are a major issue. I don't think that in an offseason, Mitchell Robinson is going to be able to find a way to, you know, nail 70% of his free throws and get rid of the whole Hakamich thing. No, that's not going to happen. So are you really going to get rid of Karl Anthony Towns? No. It's got to be addition without subtraction. That's what you have to do. Add to this team. And again, I think they have the talent to do it. It's unfortunate the fact that we had to sit there and watch them choke away game one. That's what it comes down to. That just means to me that they don't really have that cutthroat mentality that we thought we did. We saw it versus the Detroit Pistons, that cutthroat that we saw versus the Boston Celtics when they came back from 20-point deficits in games one and two. We did not see a cutthroat team that said, you know what, the game is on the line and we have to find a way to win. They did it in game five. They can do it. They just don't do it consistently. And that's part of the fact that this team still needs time to gel. So why are you going to sit there, A, and get rid of a team, get rid of some of these players that are still trying to find a way to gel? That's, you know, let's be serious. Even in the playoffs, didn't seem like they were perfect. And then why would you get rid of a coach who has been successful, continues to get this Knicks team to the playoffs, has gone now to at least the semifinals 3 years in a row, got you to the Eastern Conference Finals. So why are you going to sit there and move on from Tom Thibodeau and potentially blow up the roster or get rid of Kat? Can't do it. You got to add on, but it's not get rid of. That's for sure. Listen, to me, I'm going to sit on this one for a while. This was bad. They should have been in the finals. Now, listen, I don't think they were going to beat OKC. SGA is just too good. That team seems too complete. The Pacers might get run out of town. They might get swept. Who knows? It's not going to be a great series. Good luck if you watch that. I'm not. I'm going to move on to baseball because maybe there's some hope there. But I really wanted to see a New York team win a championship this year. And the Knicks may have actually had the best road to a championship. You know, you think about what just happened earlier today with the Yankees and the Dodgers and just completely got steamrolled 18-2. I understand Will Warren was on the mound, but the Dodgers are beating the piss out of the Yankees. Okay. And that's probably your likely scenario again for a World Series. The Yankees got to do a lot, to get better than the Dodgers. That's just a reality. So to me, the best opportunity for any local team was the Knicks. And they totally crapped the bed. You could name every which player you want to. You could name the players. You could name the coaches. You could talk to, you know, say Leon Rose didn't do a good job of finding the pieces that were going to be built perfectly for this squad. You traded away too much for Mikal Bridges, which again, I still think that Mikal Bridges, in the end, was a huge piece to why they even got this far. Go back to the Boston Celtics series. How many times did he make huge stops at the end of games to secure you a victory? So everybody has a role in this team. They are very good. This team is more than very good. This team is great. Your starters, your top players are elite level players. They just have to find a way to gel, and maybe there's a missing piece. I've heard people already ask for get Dante DiVincenzo back on this team. I don't think that's possible. But one thing's for sure, I want the core back and just add a little bit more and keep Tibbs. Overall, yeah, I guess it was successful because they got to an Eastern Conference Finals, the Knicks, but you're never going to tell me that this was a great season and that I should be happy to see the Knicks get this far, because at the end of the day, they had the path that should have got them to the finals, and they choked. And Tyrese Halliburton was right after the first game, after he hit that buzzer beater that got them to overtime. Knicks choked, and that was it, and that was a series. It was game one. Listen, thank you for checking in to WFAN Daily. It's Pete Hoffman. I will be doing these daily going forward, so get ready. Every day, something new is going to happen. You can always follow me at Hoff WFAN on all social media platforms, whether it's X, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. Obviously, you can always find me with BT and Sal Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. I always host Saturday mornings from about 12 to 5 a.m., sometimes 1 a.m. to 5 a.m., whatever the case is. And you can always find me with the Rico Bronya podcast, as always, as well, with Evan Roberts. So there's plenty of places to find me. There's plenty of things to be doing. But for your daily sports update, WFAN Daily, Pete Hoffman, here for you every day. Thank you again for tuning in, and I'll see you guys tomorrow. See you.